So there is only one thing that you need to know. In a world that is absolutely flooded with information, overwhelmed by knowledge, there is only one thing that you actually need to know. The one thing you've got to get clear in your mind and your heart is that you're loved. Sounds so simple, that you're loved. But as I look at this glorious scene here tonight, I'd be saying a safe bet 50, 60, maybe 70% of you don't believe that at all. Yeah, you know it in your head, because people have told you, or because you know it's the right answer, but you don't actually believe it. The one thing you need to know is that you are loved. Now, all of us are craving this. All of us yearn desperately to know this one truth. Everything we do, every decision we make, is based around this one thing. What do I do to make people appreciate me? To make myself valued in their eyes? To have some sort of meaning in other people's lives? To know that I'm secure, that I'm safe, that I'm loved? Everything, every decision you ever make is based on that one thing. Every reaction you ever have is based on that one thing. Think about it sometime. The last person you got angry with, why was it? It's because you wanted to be loved, and you weren't. The last time you were happy, it's because you were loved, and you rejoiced. It's the one thing we yearn for. What we come into here is this one time of the year where God tries to remind us of this fact. God tries to say to you so clearly and so explicitly, you're loved. And yet once again, we miss it. Because we don't believe it. We don't actually think, yeah, okay, maybe my parents because they have to. My friends because, well, they've got another choice. But God? No, I don't think God really would care. Or if he does, it's probably because it's his job. You know, we can go through this, and I think not believing it because we don't feel anything. You know, when we talk about love, it's like, I know someone loves me because I feel something. I feel this sort of warm, fuzzy feeling inside of me. And when I think about God, or when I go to prayer, there's nothing. It's just silence. And so does God love me? Well, if he does, he's not doing a very good job of showing me. What we need to do here as we come into this celebration is very simply to open our eyes. Now, I just want to give you an example. Take an example of a young teenage man. Okay? Here's someone prepared earlier. Young teenage guy by the name of Jonathan comes home every day, and his father has very lovingly made him a meal. Now, being Tuesday, it's chicken curry. It's always chicken curry on Tuesday, and Jonathan knows this. He's bored. He'd really love Tuesday to be something different. Now, Jonathan, deep down, is craving for love. He's looking for something to stimulate him, something to jump up in his face and say, hey, buddy, you're loved. Enjoy it. And so, he just kind of goes through, bored with a meal, finishes it, and just wants to go on to something else. Go and sit in his room and listen to depressing music about how he doesn't feel loved by his father. Now, there's another way he could engage with this. Very simply by opening his eyes. You know, if Jonathan came into this same situation, same chicken curry, same Tuesday night, but he actually takes the focus off himself for just a moment, takes the focus off his own needs and looks at his father. Looks at the sacrifice that's being made here. Maybe, just maybe, he would realize that his father has given up his lifelong dream of being a professional stamp collector, taken up a job in the public service being bored, stupid, shuffling papers in a difficult environment where he gets abused, but he does it because he loves his son. He just wants to give him everything. Give him the best education, give him the best food, comes home after a long day. All he wants to do is relax in front of the TV, but he keeps giving. Makes this meal lovingly. Eventually places it before his son. By the time it reaches the table, it's as though the chicken's been marinated in love. It's like the rice has been boiled in love. It's just dripping in love. If only Jonathan would open his eyes. All he has to do is see it. It's the same thing. The same situation, the same action, the same symbol. The only difference is that he wasn't looking at himself and his own emptiness, his own hunger, his own need, and actually opened his eyes to see the symbol that was right in front of him. To see the sacrifice that was right there. And the whole situation changes. He could have spent years listening to depressing music, thinking, my father doesn't love me because I don't feel anything, I don't feel loved. And he would have missed what was right in front of him. Now, step into what we just heard in the readings. In the Gospel, it begins with this powerful line where it says about Jesus, having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end. This is John saying, wake up, open your eyes and look at what is about to take place. If you want to feel loved by God, open your eyes. Because God, who has made this immense sacrifice of becoming human, entering into our pain, our suffering, then lowers himself to the point where he kneels before the disciples and washes their feet. Do you understand what is taking place? Jesus says this to them. Do you understand what I've just done to you? Do you understand what I'm communicating to you? That you are loved. This is God who is kneeling before them, washing their feet. For the last 3 weeks, the news has been filled with stories of our Pope, Pope Francis. The whole world amazed that the Pope would ride in the minibus. He's not meant to do that. But the Pope would call up his old news agent in Buenos Aires and cancel the newspaper subscription and thank him for all the years of service. He's the Pope. He could get other people to do that. And we're astounded. That's nothing. Because this is God, who now kneels before you and washes your feet. Will you open your eyes and see how much you are loved? Or will you sit there and say, I don't feel anything? But as he says, having loved those who are his own in the world, he loves them to the end. This one action of washing their feet is really designed to wake them up, to open their eyes, to shock them into reality, because what's about to happen is so much bigger. What is about to take place as he then moves to the table and he says to them, I'm not only going to wash your feet, I'm going to give you my very life. This is my body. This is my blood given for you. Tomorrow you will see me hanging upon a cross, sacrificing my life for you. Will you see what I have done? Will you let yourself be loved? This is what Jesus says. What takes place tonight and what we commemorate here is really trying to wake us up. Wake us up just for a moment that we would stop looking at ourselves, stop thinking about how empty we are, how dead-end our life is, and realize that what we're looking for is right in front of you. The one thing your heart craves for, the one thing your heart yearns for, it's right here. Will you see it? Will you recognize what is being said? Will you let yourself be loved? Very shortly, we'll invite 12 people to come forward here. 12 people who will stand here, will sit here, on behalf of all of us. And we will commemorate this action of where Christ took off his outer garments and knelt down before them and washed their stinking feet. I've already had some of them apologize to me for what I'm about to have to do to them. Because I've seen their feet, they look pretty disgusting. But to understand that this is Christ who comes to you. This is God who says, I love you so much. I want to be with you so much. If only you would open your eyes. If only you would have the awareness. And then let yourself be loved.